Salut tout le monde, bienvenue à ce nouvel épisode du FaberCast. Je suis votre animateur FaberGlass et puis cette semaine, on termine notre couverture de l'UFC Vancouver, notre couverture préparatoire pour cette carte à lieu canadien qui a lieu le 14 septembre prochain et puis qui nous donne droit à un des meilleurs combats de main event qu'on va avoir le droit de voir cette année, probablement Justin Gaethje et le grand chum Donald Cowboy Cerrone. Donc pour l'occasion, je reçois le Canadien Karl Prepolek qui va effectuer son deuxième combat dans l'UFC sur cette carte-là. Ça va être sa première chance chez les 155 livres. On se rappellera qu'il avait fait ses débuts à Ottawa contre Nordin Daleb. C'était sur short notice à 170 livres. Donc maintenant, un camp complet pour nous montrer ce qu'il est capable de faire dans la cage. Karl Prepolek est en action contre Austin Hubbard et on lui parle de ça. Et mon deuxième invité, je suis quand même très excité, c'est Marcin Tybura, le combattant de poids lourd qui a été dans le top 15 de l'UFC pendant très longtemps, qu'il y a beaucoup de combats dans cette division-là, puis il était très généreux de son temps. On l'a rejoint en direct de la Pologne, et puis ça a été une très belle entrevue, très gentil, très généreux de son temps, Marcin Tybura. Donc, je vous laisse à l'écoute de cet épisode-là, puis on se parle à la fin. Yes, tout le monde, nous voilà de retour cette semaine avec un invité canadien. On aura la chance de le voir à Vancouver. And I'm talking to Karl Prepolek. How is it going, man?
It's going good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Oh, sorry, I'm just having some little burp from my food I just ate. And I wanted to have you on, man, because you'll be fighting in Vancouver, a card that we're looking at because it's in Canada, and there's many great Canadian fighters having the chance to fight on that card. And I just wanted to check up on you, just see how you've been doing since your first fight, and maybe get the chance to reminisce a little bit about that first UFC fight too, and how things just ended up playing out for you. But I just wanted to know, as of now, how's it going for you, like camp-wise, injury-wise?
So far, so good. You know, like, there's always little things here and there for, like, injuries, but nothing too serious. You know, you just move around it, you know. You go to physio here once a week, sometimes twice a week, to go make sure everything's up, tuned up, and, you know, ready to go. But camp's going great, you know. Always sharpen up the tools, and, you know, weight's pretty good right now, so I'm not too worried about that. And, you know, going training from here and going training in the States at Michigan Top Team. So everything's pretty, it's going pretty well here.
Yeah, before we get to speak about the fights, I saw your gym, MTC. You kind of got an affiliation of sort with Michigan Top Team, because I know you got plenty of guys just like going there and back and forth between those two gyms. So I just wanted to know how did this come about, except the fact that you guys are just real close?
Actually, like, way back in the day, like, me and Jason Fisher, one of the guys over there and teammates now, we actually fought against each other, and, you know, he beat me in 2012 with a third-round arm triangle, and then, you know, ever since then, we're like, you know what, like, we always go to Adrenaline and train over there, and it's always, like, hour and a half to two-hour drive, and then hour and a half, 2 hour back after, you know, 2 hour training session. We can just drive literally 20 minutes to 45 minutes, depending on traffic, to go to another gym where there's a lot of bodies and, you know, different looks and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, like, we're experienced and we're all veterans at fighting. We're all pretty, like, highly skilled. So, you know, we almost do, like, trade-offs. One, if there's a bunch of guys over there getting ready, you know, we'll go over and we'll go help. And it also gives us work too. So it's we help each other out. It's almost like a brotherly bond.
Yeah, for sure, and it's working out pretty well. Let's say it, because as we've seen on the last PFC card that was in Windsor, you guys had many people fighting on the card and many people that went back and forth between the two gyms, and like everybody did real good. It was a real great card for you guys. I know you were supposed to headline that card. You were supposed to be in the main event, but you got the call to fight in the UFC in Ottawa against Nordin Taleb at 170. I just wanted to know, I know it's a real typical question, but like, how did it come about? Because I know, like, by following Jesse Ronson at some point, he was wondering, hey, is it Karl Prepolek who got the call? And I know at one point you didn't have, like, the call yet, but finally you ended up getting that fight. And I think it made sense because there was two people, in my opinion, in Canada who could make the weight for that fight. And it was you or Ronson, so it was either one. And you didn't have the previous history with the UFC of, like missing the weight and the stuff that happened with him last time. So I just wanted to know, how did this come about and how long was it before the fight? Because I don't remember quite well, but I know it was pretty short notice.
It's funny that you mentioned Ronson, because I saw actually Ronson tweet out to Nordine, and I was like, oh, cool. Like, I wonder if this is, you know, still a thing and it's still going on. I'm, you know, like, I'll put the message out and, you know, obviously do it in, you know, a different manner. I don't need to talk smack. You know, I'm going to do it in a respectable, professional manner. And, you know, and little did I know, I didn't even know, like, my coaches and management were already all over that. And then, you know, I find out literally the week before that fight was going to happen that I got, you know, called and I got pretty much called up to go in. And that's why when Ronson was asking me online, he's like, did you get the call yet? And I'm like, man, I have no idea yet. Like, I didn't get anything official yet, so I can't answer for you. Like, I'm like, it's either you or me. So, you know, best of luck to both of us because me and him are homies, you know, like, so I don't know. It's, it was pretty wild. It was pretty surreal. Like, once, you know, like they called me and said, you know, hey, be ready to go to Ottawa next week and be ready to fight. This is our time. And I was like, holy smokes. Like, it's like winning the lottery, you know, it's a surreal moment.
Yeah, of course. I was really happy to see a guy like you getting the call because you've been around, man. You've had many fights here. You're not, but you're still a guy on the rise, but you're not like a prospect in the sense that you're early in fighting and you're entering the UFC at like 6-0 or 7-1 or like, you know, the records that people often get to enter the UFC. Now you're a guy that we've seen around, we know pretty well in Canada, and we know what to expect when you're fighting. And I was pretty happy to see you getting the call, man. I feel like it was well deserved.
Yeah, thank you.
And now about that fight, how do you feel a couple of months removed from it? It was tough contest, and Nordine's a real good striker too. He's huge. But fuck, man, I feel like if there were like more weight classes, he'd be closer to 75, and even shit, man, he could fight at 185 without being like the smallest guy in the room. And you're in UFC terms, you're a 55er, so I wanted to know in hindsight, how do you feel about that fight?
It helped me learn and gain a lot of experience, you know, like, no matter, like, what the outcome was, it was, you know, like, Nordine is a 10-fight UFC vet, and, you know, like, I got to go the distance with him, and, you know, I could really see how he implements his game plan, and how people not only just fight, but it's just that strategic matchup of chess, and how, what are you going to play and adapt to, and what am I going to do to adapt to you, kind of thing. And you know, it really showed me like what I have to do if I ever face a fighter like him again, that I've learned off that and, you know, improved on that aspect and also in the mind aspect on what to do and adapt and change the game up a bit.
Yeah, for sure. Now, tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like for you, it's almost your second first chance in the UFC, because yeah, you took a short notice, you were preparing for a fight and stuff, there's no problems about that, but you didn't fight in your weight class, you didn't have like a full camp to prepare for an opponent that, like you've been saying, had huge UFC experience. Now you'll be fighting at 55 in your good weight class against another guy that's 0-1 in the UFC, same kind of record, same kind of experience. I feel like it's really now your chance to give a good first impression for the second time, since like what happens in other weight classes on short notice, and like most people enter the UFC on a loss in another weight class on a short notice fight. Now you'll get the chance to be at your weight, be with a full camp, but with a guy that you've been able to prepare for. So how does that affect your preparation? How do you feel different about this, or is it all the same?
At the end of the day, it is all the same, but at the same time, it is that second impression that I get to, you know, give out, because it's like, you know, I felt like I did, you know, pretty decent for my, you know, debut on a week notice on a higher weight class. And now I have my own expectations, and I'm sure they have expectations, being like, well, this guy did this well on this week's notice. You know, I was just like you said before, I was getting ready for a fight to come up for one of the events in Windsor. I was just about to start camp literally that week and start like my dieting and all that stuff. And then obviously got the call, yeah, now I have that full camp, so now I get to refine, retune, sharpen all the tools, and, you know, get everything ready to go, where I'll expand and get better at my grappling, get sharper at wrestling, react better to certain situations, adapt, you know, be even more conditioned, throw more, kick more, punch more, you know, just all the level changes, that next level, world-class kind of stuff. I want to get to that level, and, you know, I'm doing everything I can to become that level.
Yeah, for sure. And what's the read on that Austin Hubbard fight? Because I feel like he's a good fighter. We've seen him do everything. But, like, I don't feel like he's got a specialty. I don't feel like he's got, like, oh, if shit goes wrong, I'm a, like, wrestle, or I'm a try this, or he's kind of in there and he does his stuff, but I don't feel like he's got a main thing that, oh, you gotta watch out for this when you fight Austin Hubbard. So I wanted to know, what's your read on that fight?
When I think about Austin, I think he's, you know, like everyone in UFC, everyone is so good at in mixed martial arts. You're at the highest level you can be at, and the thing with Austin, I think he's well-rounded everywhere. It's just you know, like, there could be some little things here and there that he could throw a flashy, but it's like, we both have that experience. We've both seen it. We're both there. Now we got to put on that show, right? So now when I go in there, I got to show him how I'm better at playing this game than he is. And, you know, like, Austin is a fighter. That's the best way I could put it. He's a fighter. Like, he doesn't, you know, he's not, I don't, you know, like, he's just, overall, just a well-rounded guy, and you got to be careful everywhere he goes. Like, if it's standing on the feet, I got to maneuver, outbox, outkickbox, do all the things, level change, go for takedowns. And then if he goes for takedowns, I got to defend or take him down. You know, I got to be hit first and hit last kind of thing. You know, like, that's what I'm aiming for.
Yeah, for sure. If you force him to react to your stuff, there's not many ways he can, like, go on with his stuff. So I feel like I know that guy, everybody hates him, but we kind of seen it with Colby Covington as of late. That guy's just in your face and he throws 100 strikes per round. So how can you try to do your stuff when you just can't go there and not address what he's doing? So I feel like if you're the first one, if you're the guy that forces him to react, if he's reacting, he's not acting.
Yeah, no, exactly. So that's pretty much the game. Well, not my game plan, but I'm always going in there and adapting. And, you know, I got the coaches and team telling me what to look out for, the specific things that he does. You know, it's just the standard of, like, what everyone else does too, right? We're at that level where we got to break everything down and bring it to a science.
Yeah, for sure. Do you expect that he's going to wrestle you a lot while he's trying to, like, to react to what you're doing?
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, everyone goes, like, 90% of the fights try to go to the ground or go to the ground. I'm there to fight, entertain, and do everything I can to win, whether it's me taking him down, you know, working a submission or ground and pound, you know, working my wrestling and my jits and all that stuff, or, you know, put on a striking clinic. It doesn't matter where it goes. I'm well-rounded enough everywhere where I can, you know, do some damage wherever it goes.
Yeah, for sure. And I know there's been, like, a lot of talk about his camp. Like, he's at the Elevation Fight Team. He's got Justin Gaethje in the gym. He's got many people, like, all over every weight class of the UFC in his gym. And, like, he feels like it's something that helps him a lot, like, in that regard. What the fuck did I just... Okay, I'm back. I just made the screen smaller. Didn't know how I did that. But, yeah, He puts huge importance in his gym, his training partners and stuff. But I feel like you kind of got that too. Because at MTC, you've got real good pros everywhere. You got many people at your weight too. And I think that's, like, a big advantage for you. Yeah, yeah, you got bigger guys in the gym. But I feel like most of the talent pool is, like, between, let's say, 45 and 70 in your gym. Like, you got real good people every day that you're able to train with. So how do you feel your gym situation impacts that fight?
Honestly, like I said, like, going between MTC, you know, we got all our coaches and teammates, we got everything, like, strategically planned out for what day or what thing we're gonna do. You know, we'll get guys from who are just, like, pure jiu-jitsu, like, monsters to come in and, you know, do their thing, work different situations, work different drills, work all those things, then go to Michigan Top Team, and it's just, you know, like, there's endless bodies everywhere. Just, you know, in the state of Michigan, you know, in Detroit, like there's a lot of guys that go to Michigan top team. Like you got Krupchenk, you got Stamen, Fisher, you got all these guys, man, all these guys. It's just endless opportunities for all these people to come in, all these bodies to help work. Like everyone is just, there's so many athletes there that I have, and it feels good no matter what, if it's short notice or, you know, full camp. I'm confident and I'm ready because of the people that I'm with. And that, I believe that's huge just because, you know, we have all these weapons in our tools, but our strongest ones are our mind and our hearts, right? So that's what I feel.
Yeah. And the thing about your gym too is that you guys, you're active, man. Like every card in Canada, because for my page, I'm trying to, and it's tough. It's real tough, but I'm trying. Like every time there's a card in Canada, I try to stack up the wins and losses, like for every gym, because I want to do a countdown to the best gym in Canada at the end of the year. And it's crazy how every card there is in the Eastern Canada, I'd say, but even some guys go to the West, to Alberta and stuff. Like there's almost on every card, one MTC guy or two MTC guy. You guys are just everywhere. You're one of the gym that like has fought the most pro fights in Canada this year. And you got a real good record too. I think you guys are in the top five as of now, but like, just the fact that there's always somebody training for a fight in that gym, like always someone that you know that he's gonna be there, he's gonna be grinding with you because you both guys are fighting soon. And I feel like you're really one of the top gyms in Canada, and you really got nothing to envy to those other people that train at like things we call super camps, because there are fighters, you know. But like except for Justin Gaethje, how many 55ers are there in his gym? That's the thing we don't really know, huh?
Yeah, those are his little secrets. You know, like you gotta do what you gotta do, though, right? So yeah. He gets the job done, and it's gonna be interesting because I like him and Cowboy fighting. So both fighters I like to watch, and it's just like, well, here we go. What's gonna happen?
Yeah, that's gonna be crazy as shit. And you know that, like by default, there's gonna be people watching that card because of that fight. So I don't know where you guys are gonna be placed on that card, but man, it's kind of way open. And I've been saying that to everybody that's been fighting on that card, but I feel like with the new formula, people are complaining, there's less and less big names on the cards, and the fight nights, they're mostly like a main event and some fights. And man, I feel like maybe for fans, that's a lesser incentive to just turn on the TV and watch the fights. But for you guys, when there's not like a Cowboy and a Gaethje and another big guy and another big guy and on the card, like there's more way that people are talking about Cal Prepelic after that card.
Yeah, so at that time, you know, that's where I really gotta, I have their names and I gotta, you know, market myself to be, you know, that up and comer, that the rising star kind of thing. I want to do it properly. I want to have longevity in the sport. So fighting on the same card as Cowboy again, which is awesome. What a blessing that is. So, I think we're actually one of the first fights on the prelims, but, so we just got to start to show off, right? You know, we just got to go up with a bang.
Yeah, for sure. And you'll have been fighting two times on Cowboy cards now. That's great, right?
Yeah, it's wild. Because the card after that, that's when he fought Ferguson. So it's like, oh man, this guy's already back. This guy's an animal.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's amazing. I think he's everybody's favorite fighter, man. That guy's so fucking crazy. Like, there's just no way to go around it. Like, when you see his name, you're going to tune in. Like, and everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, if everything goes, like, according to plan, you come out in that fight and you get the chance to show out, how does it play out? Do you knock him out? Do you submit him? Do you do both?
Hey, it's possible. Both can happen, but, I like striking. I want to, you know, make a striking clinic and, you know, showcase what that's all about and, you know, show the division, hey, I'm not someone to be underestimated, you know?
For sure. What do you like most? Like coming in and just knocking him out in the first round and like real easy night out, or having the chance like to style on him and let the fight maybe go into the second or third round where you really get the show, like the wrinkles of your game? Or do you want to just finish him early and keep it a secret?
Both are fine with me. It just depends how the fight plays out. You know, like I just go day by day, and whatever happens, happens kind of deal. So I'm just laid back and chill, you know. So if it happens quick, awesome, that's great. If it doesn't, and it happens in the third round, that's fine. It's just more time and experience and more fun for me. So I'm okay with it.
For sure, man. But I thank you a lot. I'm going to let you go and do your stuff. And thank you very much for taking the time. We'll be looking forward to that card and to your fight, especially because, man, you're a Canadian guy. You're from Ontario. I'm from Quebec. We're close, man. We'll be rooting for you, and we'll be looking at this real closely. So thank you. Thanks a lot, Cal Triple A.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
I will get to do this again, maybe after your fight to celebrate.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks. Cool. That'd be great.
Yeah, thank you, man. We'll keep in touch.
Bye.
Salut tout le monde, on est de retour sur le podcast cette semaine avec un combattant de longue date de l'UFC qu'on aura la chance de voir à Vancouver. And I'm talking about Marcin Tybura. How are you doing, man?
I'm very good, but je ne comprends pas.
Oh, you speak French too?
I don't. I just know this the sentence.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yes, because we speak French. I'm in Canada, of course. That's one of the main reasons I wanted to talk to you, because we'll have the chance to see you fight in Canada in a big, big fight on that card. A fight for a place in the UFC rankings where you have been for a long time now. And I just wanted to ask... your feelings, how was your training going regarding that fight? But first off, wanted to know, have you ever been to Canada?
No, not yet. That would be my first time, even though I had an invitation because I have family living next to Toronto. It's in Mississauga.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess. Yeah, but I never been to. The camp was is good because it's going on. Actually, I'm just I have like a couple of more sparring session. I'm expecting to, you know, go injury free, and I feel healthy. I feel in the best shape ever. So can't wait to go there. I think I'm coming on September 5th already. So pretty soon.
Yes, and you did your camp in Poland, right?
Yes, I did in Poland, like the last two camps.
Yes, and do you like it better when you train back home? Is it easier for you because you don't have to leave all your family, all your stuff? Is it something you like more than training abroad?
No, actually, I'm not looking this way. I'm just trained at the place where I feel the best, when I can grow as a fighter. And right now I have like few coaches that I think are the best for my style, and I work with them. So that's the main reason I chose to stay in Poland right now.
Good. And we know, as we've seen you in many, many UFC fights, you're a good striker, real good striker, but you like to wrestle, do you like to grapple, you like to have to use all the aspects of MMA into your game. So I wanted to know, how does that give you an advantage against Augusto Sakai, your opponent, who, as we've seen, I think is more of a striker. Like he prefers, I think, to keep the fight on the feet, and he's a fighter that doesn't have a real heavy pace, I'd say. A real, like, he's kind of a slow heavyweight, not in his movement, but like in the way that he fights. If he can fight a slow pace striking match at distance, I feel like it's the place that he feels like he's the best. So I wanted to know, regarding your style, see, since you can do everything, you can fight in the clinch, you can strike, how does that match up against you, this match up against Augusto Sakai?
Actually, that's kind of weird thing that when I came to UFC, I've been recognized since my UFC debut. I've been recognized as a striker, which is actually not true because my base is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But you know, in UFC, you have to be like all aspects of MMA, so it's not that easy to depend on only on submission or only on wrestling. So that's why I try to do as my best in striking. You know, every time somebody here is a Brazilian fighter, they see they speak like he should be like a black belt in jiu-jitsu, he should be grappling or something. But yeah, Augusto is more of the striker, and his style is like he's a kind of fighter that he makes you like losing your focus, because as you said, he's not like that speed, he's not quick to you know, to strike, to go forward, and that make you feel like he tried to put you asleep. I mean his kind of game, man. But first of all, he's very heavy hands, I guess, and that's what he depend on his wins and his career, and I think that's the main thing in this fight, is to stay focused and be prepared for whatever he throw.
Yeah, for sure, because he's probably looking to go 15 minutes with you. I know he's got heavy hands, like you say, but you've not been an easy guy to finish. The times you have lost by finish, you have taken like lots of damage before it happened to you. So I don't think he's the kind of fighter that could just stand there and try to one punch KO you. So it may be looking like a fight that's going to go to the second round, going to go to the third round. And do you feel like your huge UFC experience gives you an edge like in that department, being that you went 15 minutes? Well, you went 15 minutes with top guys. You even fought in main events. You even went like more than 15 minutes. So do you feel like this is something that it plays in your advantage?
I guess so. Actually, I feel like I've been in a good shape. Like before, I've been in like 15 minutes fights many times, and I was 25 minutes with Fabrizio Verdum. So I'm not worried about my cardio or something like that. For sure, I will be ready to go for 5 minutes. I do like five rounds on a sparring easy, and that's not the point. But actually, when you go to the MMA fight, it's important thing that you want to finish it as soon as possible. So actually, I'm just always looking for this. Of course, there is a fight where you have a very good opponent, and it's not easy, but I'm always looking for the finish.
Like comparing to the other opponents that you face, because you face almost everybody in this division, you fought the biggest names. How does he compare? Because we know he's kind of a prospect on the rise, but he's not that much of a prospect too. He's been fighting for long. He's not like a real young fighter who's gonna develop every fight. So how does he stack against the level of competition you've already faced in the UFC?
You know, I just respect everyone as a fighter. He's, as you said, he's like on the rising, so we don't know what he's capable of. So he fighting Andrei Arlovski. It was a good fight, and the only loss to Czech Congo, which actually was a really close decision, let you think that he's a top level fighter. So I'm not disrespecting at all.
Yes. Is there one fight with Che Congo who is not a close decision? Have you ever seen a Che Congo fight who is not a split decision?
Actually, yeah, well, maybe. I didn't pay much attention of Che Congo career, but maybe you're right.
I feel like he may even like beat Ryan Bader by split decision. We just never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a tricky fighter, but like you've been saying, people, they consider you as a striker, but you're more of a grappler. That's your base. Do you feel like that's maybe the your top advantage in that fight, since he's more of a striker?
I think so. I mean, like, I didn't use those my grappling skills for a long time, so that's why people consider me as a striker. But you know, the guys in the UFC are also good wrestlers, so they're not easy to take down. So that's why you have to be prepared for like go 15 minutes in a stand-up and striking. But still, if there will be a chance for taking down and submit him or whatever, or ground and pound, I will go for it.
Yes, for sure. And I wanted to know, how does it feel right now to be a heavyweight in the UFC? You're a veteran of that division, but I feel like more and more with the Contender Series and all the other shows, they're getting more heavyweights now in the UFC, like more than ever. I feel like it's a division that has more names now, that has more people on the rise that may be coming to your spot real soon or trying to take your spot. So I just wanted to know, how does it feel to be a heavyweight right now, since I got the feeling that it's maybe one division that, like, I would not say on the rise, because, you know, heavyweights are always heavyweights. People are gonna look, it's always maybe the top division, I'd say, in the sports regarding fan interest. But how does it feel to be there right now, knowing that there's many, many young people that are rising up to the ranks and looking to come and take your spot that you've got since a long time in this division?
You know, actually, I have much more feelings. I'm still on the rise. You know, my goal is still to be the top of the division. I only climbed to 8 in the world ranking, so I'm still trying to prepare to be that prospect, so I can reach more. You know, there will always be a new guys coming, new prospects, and I'm just kind of happy that I've been fighting in the era where I could meet, like, with Fabrizio Werdum or Andrei Arlovski, like the legend of the sports, who, you know, in a few years they will be out. And I think that was the era of these fighters. That was a time when all the MMA grow, like, worldwide and everything. You know, these guys are legend. I watched their fights when I wasn't fighting professionally yet at all. I was a kind of a guy who go to the gym to train for himself, and so yeah, I'm not feeling like I'm the one. I just feeling like I'm the prospect.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you're not that old too, let's say it. And like you've been saying, Andrei Arlovski still fighting, Fabrizio Werdum, now I know he's suspended, but he's still fighting. And you've got so many, Alistair Overeem, man, that guy's been fighting. He has more knockouts loss on his resume that most people have wins. And he's got a great resume. He's got like 40, 50 wins. That's like literally crazy, but he's still there and he's still at the top of his division. So I feel like heavyweight is different than other divisions because of that. I don't know why, but people, they can have like slumps in their career. They can have times where it goes a little less good for them, but then what happens? They just go back and they're on fire and they win fights and they get to the UFC title. And it's like the division where you don't really look at the age or look at records, because people like Mark Hunt are still fighting with like 500 records, but they're still some of the best heavyweight we've seen. So I feel like, a little bit like you've been saying, you can never say that you're not a prospect anymore at heavyweight, because you may be like getting close to 40 years old someday and that's when you become the champion. We've just seen like with DC, that guy's crazy, man. How he's able to fight at this level, at this age still. And he was doing good against Stipe. That just shows how Stipe Miocic is a killer too. But man, it's the division where we're seeing like older guys that just like wine, man. You guys get better when you get older. Like basically, it's I think it's a reverse from all the other divisions.
Yeah, I think that there is much of a difference in the heavyweight division, because I think the lower weight divisions are based more on the speed, and I think when you grow old, you kind of start losing it at first. That's the first thing you start losing. And I think that's why heavyweights can go like a couple more years more. Yeah, that's what you say. Like in the UFC, like more of the heavyweight fighters are over 30 right now, and they probably getting better in time. Like DC, he lost last fight, but still he's like more almost 40 right now.
Yep, I think he is 40.
But also the world bring you like more stuff, so you can recover yourself. I don't know, like cryotherapy or other stuff that you know make you healthy, make you feel younger. Like that's the thing too.
Yes. Do you take CBD? I know everybody takes CBD now.
I tried, but not right now. I tried when I was in Albuquerque.
Yes, because I know it's real. Yeah, go ahead.
But I don't know. It was good because I didn't feel any of a difference.
Yeah, it's not something that you feel. I should take it because I do jiu-jitsu a lot too, and I'm always all broken down, but. I'm still young, so I'm just not complaining for now. I'm just rolling with the punches and keeping my mouth shut. But I should try and find something, being a CBD or anything. Maybe just go to the chiro or get some massages. That may just help too. But yes, and
you do it for the French fans or for English fans? Because you're introducing was in French.
Yes, I do it for both, basically, because in Canada we speak both languages, and I've got, I'd say, half of my fans, they speak French, and half of my fans, they speak English. And half of my French-speaking fans, they can understand English too, so they're gonna be good. And the other half, they're not gonna be able to understand, but that's their problem. They should learn second languages.
Right. And you're based in Vancouver?
No, I'm in Montreal. I'm completely in the opposite of the country. Like, if you were in the United States, you are fighting like in LA, and I'm in New York, basically.
All right, but still,
we've got, I think, 3 cards a year now in Canada. So we tried to cover it the most possible. And it's a good card that you'll be fighting on. There's not many, like, big established names. You're one of them. But you've got one hell of a main event. And that's going to bring many eyes to that card, I feel. Because Cowboy and Justin Gaethje, that's a once-in-a-lifetime fight, man. I feel like you can just sign the 50K bonus checks and just give it to these guys and find the other 2 guys that are going to deserve some.
Yeah, that's the Astonish main event. Like, everyone will be watching it, yeah. Justin Gaethje. I don't think that will go, like, 5 rounds. And Justin Gaethje, I hope he would fight smarter this time because... He received so many punches in his fight. You know, I'm pretty sure everyone loves to watch, but still, this guy needs to be like healthy.
Yeah, no, for sure. I was speaking to one of his teammates, Austin Hubbard, who's fighting on that card too. And I was asking, man, like, when you're sparring, does that guy wrestle? Or is he just running after you and taking as many punches as his fights? And he said, no, man, this guy in sparring, he wrestles, he's good. Like, he should, if that guy shot for a takedown, he may be world champion. But, man, he's just going for the money and the show all the way. And I think it works out for him, because I don't know if you listened to Conor McGregor's interview. I don't really want to talk about Conor. Everybody always talks about him. But, like, when he was saying, I want to get back to it, I want to fight, he named some names, and Gaethje was in it. So I think that may be a good way to fight for him, because he's got the attention of Conor McGregor. And, man, once you fight that dude, you're basically rich, so... I think
he's a big name right now for his fight and what he brings to the fights. Yeah, even though he's losing, he's like, you know, everyone wants to fight him.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone wants to fight him, and it's the money fight. And I feel like Nate Diaz too. He's shown us, like, after last weekend, Nate Diaz is probably the other guy that's a money fight right now in the UFC, because everything he does, it turns to gold. Everybody wants to see it. And but I feel like that's the same thing for your card, for you guys, because, like I've been saying, Gaethje and Cowboy, they're not, like, as abrasive characters as Connor, as Nate, but they're people that when you see their name, you're gonna watch it, and you're gonna watch like the card before, and the card before is gonna be filled with great fights like you and Augusto, and I think like it's gonna be a real good night of action in Vancouver for the people, even better than the last time they were there. And I remember it was a pay-per-view, but I think it was Demetrius Johnson against I'll remember, it was a Russian guy. He fought a Russian guy. I don't really remember, but it wasn't that great of a card, and it was a pay-per-view. I feel like this time, you guys, you've got a great card.
And nice,
yeah, and you're on free TV. Like, everybody's going to be able to listen to it. So it's just great for you guys.
Yeah, I also see it as a big card. I mean, there's a big names on it. And for the night, fight night, it's a big show for sure. I don't know, is it first time in Vancouver or no?
No, they've been a couple of times before in Vancouver. They like to come, I think, once every 2 years, basically. There's one card in Toronto, like, every year, but elsewhere in Canada, they come, like, once every 2 years, once every 3 years, depending.
Yeah.
In Montreal, we don't have nothing since GSP left, but, man, we're trying. So, hey, yeah. I thank you a lot, man. I'm going to let you go on and do your stuff. That was a great time. Thank you very much. And, man, I hope we'll get to do this again in the future.
All right. Thank you. Have a good time and enjoy the fights.
Yes, for sure. I'll look at it closely. Thank you. Thank you. And
thank you.
That was Marcin Tybura from Poland, everybody. Thank you very much.
Thank you. See you later.
Bye. Voilà tout le monde, c'était le Fabercast cette semaine. Restez tuned in là, dans les prochaines semaines, je devrais avoir des grosses choses pour vous. On continue notre couverture du TKO 49, évidemment, c'est l'événement là, du mois d'octobre, ça va être très important de parler aux combattants à qui on n'a pas parlé encore. Sinon, j'aimerais bien recevoir Yann Pellerin pour qu'il nous parle de cette carte de New Era là qui va avoir lieu dans pas long, là, le 20 septembre. Je sais pas si ça va avoir l'air de quoi, mais je veux que Yann nous en parle un peu. Sinon, j'ai Adam Dajka pour vous, là, in the vault. C'est pas la semaine prochaine, c'est l'autre d'après. Ça va dépendre d'une couple de choses, mais ce podcast-là va avoir lieu. Puis j'ai probablement un podcast avec Marc-André Barriot qui a des choses à nous dire aussi, qui va s'en venir. Donc, plein d'excitation à venir dans les prochaines semaines au Fabercast pour l'instant. Ben, je vous laisse avec ça. Allez aimer les réseaux sociaux de mes invités, Carl Purpolek et Marcin Tybura. Suivez-les tout partout. Et moi, vous pouvez me suivre au MMATalk.ca, le site internet que vous devez aller voir tous les jours de votre vie si vous voulez être en santé. Et au MMA Talk sur Facebook, MMA Talk sur YouTube, The MMA Talk, THE sur Instagram et The-MMA Talk sur Twitter. Et puis c'est ça.